11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Championship version of the League podcast. My name is Lee Phelps, and Pete Farrays is on the line. Hello, Pete.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Apparently, the William Hill Gibraltar office were all singing along to that that theme tune this week, which is nice to hear.
Well, they're not allowed to. It's ours.
Yes, it only belongs to English version of William Hill in Leeds. Is that it? Is that what we're saying?
And our listeners,
yes,
worldwide.
And the listeners.
But some of them, not all of them.
Pete's picked some feature games for the Championship this afternoon. Good to be back after the international break, of course. And we'll start it all off with Birmingham versus Leeds at 12:15. Birmingham City are 20th with 5 points from their 5 games. Just a 1 win so far. Leeds United, a point better off. They've had 2 wins and 3 losses in their 5 and are on 6 points and are still managerless, Pete. I think the market's still out there on William Hill's specials pages. The next permanent Leeds manager market: Neil Redfern 11-4, Steve Clark 7-2, Di Canio 9-2, Di Matteo 9-2, Robbie Fowler 14-1, another former Leeds favourite, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank at 16-1, Tony Yeboah. I'm joking, of course. Well, who knows, basically, is the answer to that question, who's going to take over that job. But Neil Redfern looks like he's going to be doing it for the foreseeable future. What about this game, then? I mean, how much do you think it'll have affected them? They've got Byram out banned, the last remaining suspension to be served there for their bad discipline. They went into the international break with a 1-0 win against Bolton, and Birmingham went into the break with a 4-0 defeat at Wigan. So Leeds probably a little bit more chipper.
Yeah, if you look at how Leeds have played in their wins so far this season, Bolton were a very good team. Leeds didn't deserve to lose that game, but nor did they deserve to win it. And I think the same can be said about their win over Middlesbrough as well, Leeds. So 2 wins, neither of which particularly they were wholeheartedly fantastic in. The other thing to bear in mind is, if you were back in Leeds in this game, they've had incredibly few shots on target. You know, 3 o'clock on Saturday, they would have had only 10 shots on target so far this season. Now, straight away, whether the manager situation has been established and decided on or not, do you want to put your cash down at 12-5 on a team who've had 10 shots on target so far this season? 2 a game, on average, that is.
Only if they're brilliant defensively.
But Leeds aren't brilliantly defensively, particularly,
no.
Are they? I mean, they conceded, they've conceded goals. You know, they won last time out under Neil Redfern, who Massimo Ciliano does like, by the way. He's a big fan of Neil Redfern, as I think everyone around Leeds is. You know, if you look at what he did, a great 1-0 win over Bolton, who threw the kitchen sink at Leeds. But, you know, they conceded 2 against Bradford, 4 against Watford, 2 against Brighton. To be fair, at home, they were defensively very good against Middlesbrough, and obviously lost 2-0 away at Millwall. So I thought, well, I can't back at 12-5, but can I back Birmingham in this game? And technically, they've taken less points than Leeds in the season so far. You know, 1-0 home win against Brighton, a solid draw at home against Leeds, even though they were 2-0 up in that game, suggests that St Andrews, they'll be a slightly different beast to the performances they've given away from home. They are still a little bit light defensively by the club's own admission. They brought in Breck Shea, who's an attacking player this week on an emergency loan from Stoke as well. But you put all of that together, and it is hard to bat Leeds. And in fact, you have to, in my opinion, towards Birmingham at 5-4. The other interesting market that's worth having just a little pound or two on here is penalty awarded and scored. So penalty awarded and scored. When Leeds have gone away from home in the Championship so far this season, they went to Watford, 2 penalties were awarded and scored in that game. They went to Millwall, a penalty was awarded to Millwall in that game. In both games so far, away from home in the league, they have given away a penalty, and on every single occasion, including one for themselves, it is being converted. 9-2, penalty awarded and scored. Ultimately, while I'm not as doom and gloom about Leeds as a lot of people are, I think they will survive this season. I think they'll be fine in the league this season. They need to get some established, they need to get an established manager, and I don't mean established as in he needs to have a great history. He just needs to be the manager for the rest of the season, in my opinion, and they'll be fine. But in this game, certainly, I think Birmingham is 6-4 with two good home performances are worth backing.
Next up, let's have a look at Blackpool versus Wolves. This is a 3 p.m. kickoff. We'll have a look at the Sunday game in a little while, of course, the TV match between Nottingham Forest and Derby. But Blackpool at home to Wolves. Blackpool have suffered six straight defeats now, in one of them in the League Cup, the rest in the Championship. As we said before the international break, only losing them by a single goal. That was enough to land Pete's nap last time out, which was Millwall to win. Last time we did a Championship podcast, that is. They won 2-1, again, just by a goal. Wolves sitting third in the Championship after a really nice start. Five games, 12 points. The only defeat was the away loss at Rotherham. Beat Blackburn 3-1 on their last outing, and also beat Cardiff 1-0 as well just before that. Sacco got a couple of goals in the 3-1 win against Blackburn. Do you see something similar here again, Pete? A defeat, but a narrow one?
How on earth are the prices like this? I don't get it. I've been desperately scrabbling all morning trying to find some team news. If anyone has any, I'm not going to put my bet on Wolves until Saturday morning. But 19-20? Are you being serious? I mean,
In what way do you think it's huge?
Yeah. Look at Blackpool. So firstly, you've got Wolves winning four of the last five games they've played in the league. They've won one, lost one on the road. They look great going forward. Have yet to actually play poorly in a game. The one thing against them, Kenny Jackett has just won Manager of the Month, so maybe you use that as a poison chalice for him. And if you believe in the hoodoo, then yeah, back against them. But Blackpool, though, this week, Riga has been obviously very critical publicly of Carl Oyston and the Blackpool owners. Carl Oyston's now come out and fired one right back at Riga. You've got Melis, for example, who's still a couple of weeks away from fitness. They still haven't won a game in the league. There's clearly an incredibly unsettled camp behind the scenes, because you have got some unhappy players and you've certainly got an unhappy manager and unhappy staff. And for me, if it was exactly the same situation but in the Premier League, the traders would have Wolves going off at 1-3 here, 1-4. And I mean that. Again, if there's any injury issues that I can't find, certainly, please, first of all, obviously don't bet on it, but second of all, let me know, because I'm going to have a big bet on it. And eventually, backing against Blackpool is going to sting you. They're 3-1 at home. You know, you've said it yourself, Lee, sometimes teams in this league shouldn't be 4, 5, 6-1s, and a 3-1 at home is maybe a version of that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, can you back Blackpool at the moment?
No, but I suppose, you know, look at it from the other side of it as well, is if you take Blackpool out of the equation, Wolves obviously beat Fulham 1-0, didn't they?
Yeah, Fulham are a team who are struggling.
And beat Rotherham, and lost to Rotherham 1-0. So they're not exactly scoring lots of goals. I think maybe the traders are thinking eventually this run will stop and Blackpool will somehow get a draw out of one of these narrow defeats.
And that's fine. That's a completely fair and understandable thing for them to...
And can you go much shorter than that in the Champions? I know you say if it was the Premier League, but the fact is it's not, is it? I guess that is what you've got to build into it.
That's true.
As far as team news goes... just having a look at no injuries, likelihood of the same team for a sixth straight league game.
Well,
Sacco and Dicko back from the African Nations Cup with Mali. And Lee Evans played for 90 minutes for the Wales under 21s. Kevin McDonald travelled to Germany with Scotland. And Kenny Jackett said he thinks they're all okay. So,
well, what does that tell
That's
you?
From the Birmingham Mail, by the way. So,
brilliant. That's great. I didn't think to look at that, which is.
No, I think, to be fair, I think it's only just been published, Pete. So.
Oh, okay, great. Sacco, by the way, three goals this season is 7-4 any time. But seriously, Lee.
Just come in, I don't mind.
I just keep thinking about Dave Kellner.
Just call me anything you want.
I can't believe the price on it.
Yeah.
And 19-20 is good enough for me. It just is. There's just no argument about it for me. Again, like we've said before, back in this kind of thing, eventually you'll be stung. But if you get stung in this game by that, then I think you've genuinely got the right to go, do you know what? I did the right thing. And I think that sometimes when you're having a punt, enough. The anytime goal scorer offer, by the way, if you want Bakary Saka to score anytime, 7-4. Mix it with them to win, it's 11-4, which is brilliant as well. But for me, there was only one way into this game. At the moment, Blackpool are unbackable.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's it looks a good price then. Next up, let's have a look at Bolton Wanderers, who are at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Wednesday 10th. and going pretty well. Bolton are in the bottom three, with just 1 point from the five games. Sheffield Wednesday have won three successive away games. I think a fourth would be a record of some description, especially in recent years. Bolton yet to win a home game. They did beat Bury, but it's after extra time. So if you're talking about 90-minute matches, then they're yet to win. They drew with Bury, drew with Nottingham Forest, and lost to Middlesbrough 2-1. But scoring goals, Pete, as Wednesday are away from home. This looks like a stick on both teams to score game.
It is. It is absolutely a stick on both teams to score. I mean, you could look at one of your match results and both teams to score, 7-2 for Bolton and both teams, the draw 3-1 and both teams, Sheffield Wednesday 9-2 and both teams. And when I asked our colleague Mark Wilson, who is, of course, a Bolton commentator, he said both teams to score was a very interesting weigh-in at 4-6, and quite frankly, it is. It's as simple as that. It's an interesting one, this one, because when I first looked at the... I went to daily match lists, and I went to the Saturday, and I went to Championship, and I thought, right, let's have a look at some of the prices before I choose what games I'm going to have a look at. And I looked at this, and I thought, oh, Sheffield Wednesday are a big price at 9-5. They're a big old price. I mean, they have had some off-field issues. The ongoing sale of the club hasn't quite gone through the way that Milan Mandarić would have liked it to be, but he's continued to back it. He said publicly he'll continue to back it. And Stuart Gray's done consistently a very good job of protecting the players, certainly in his time, over that. They've won twice over a Borough side who they beat 3-2. This is, by the way, away from home. Sorry, just generally, I should say. They won against Borough 3-2 in a game they should have won 3-1, 3-0. It was flattering to Middlesbrough that they got two goals in that game. They beat Brighton, who are a decent side as well. They've had draws against good teams in the league as well. So you put all that together and you think, well, actually, Sheffield Wednesday are doing brilliantly. But for the first time this season, I'm quite tempted to apply the socks up syndrome theory, Lee.
Okay.
Wow.
Klaxon.
Wow, that was unpleasant. That was deeply unpleasant. Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday, of course, they've had a bit of time off, but they lost to Nottingham Forest, of which, by the way, there is absolutely no shame in losing 1-0 to Nottingham Forest this season so far. Zero shame whatsoever. But I looked at it and I just thought, you know what, Lee? They've been going well. They've done well against Brighton, against Middlesbrough. They've drawn with Derby and Millwall. But then that final loss, sometimes, as the phrase is used for a different thing, the seal is broken. And he just sometimes is just a little bit more awkward. They didn't quite bring the players they wanted to toward the end of the transfer window in either, although they have done, it has to be said, on the whole, very, very well. And Stuart Gray has said he's going to use the loan window as soon as he possibly can. But Bolton have played quite well recently as well. That has to be said. I mean, they played really well despite losing to Leeds. Yes, they couldn't quite get Greg Halford. They're incredibly well rested. I mean, just ask Jay Spearing. He went to Ibiza during the international break. And yeah, they are still in the need of a striker. But generally speaking, even though they picked up just 1 point, and that was against the best team in the league, the other three losses they've had have all been by a goal, and they've constantly been just an inch or two away from getting 3 points for me. It is really a side that are improving. It's a side that still have a lot to improve on, and still a side that does need certainly three or four new players. But at the moment, Dougie Friedman's doing the best with what he's got, and I think 6-4 at home is good enough. Ultimately, though, let's not be foolish about this. The 4-6 both teams is great, and to be fair, the draw no bet at 4-6 is probably the way you play this as well for Bolton.
Let's have a look at Huddersfield Town next, shall we? They're playing Middlesbrough. Huddersfield are priced up at 21-10. It's 21-10 the draw and 7-5 for Borough. Middlesbrough 16th with 6 points from five games. Huddersfield just above the relegation zone, 4 points from their five. Huddersfield Town's home form leaves quite a bit to be desired, and that's stretching back to last season as well. The last home win that they recorded was a 5-0 win against Barnsley. Since then, they've picked up a few draws and a few more losses. In fact, the last couple of games that they've played at home, lost to Forest 2-0 in the Cup, drew 1-1 with Charlton, and the opening Championship home game was a 4-0 defeat to Bournemouth, of course. Middlesbrough, a little bit inconsistent. They don't draw games, but they're doing a win-lose-win-lose sequence at the moment.
Yeah, but they've continued to invest, and I think the issue that's come out of the club, certainly about their start, which hasn't been as they would have liked, has just been because there is so many new players in there, a new system enacted as well by Aitor Karanka, and during the, you know, toward the end of the transfer window, they continued to invest incredibly heavily. I mean, if you look at the players that Middlesbrough brought in the 2014-15 season, Kike, who obviously started well, Lee Tomlin, Adam Clayton, Jelle Vursen, who I've seen for Racing Genk and is brilliant, Yannick Wildschut, the left-back James Husband, Demir, Jamal Blackman, Ryan Fredericks, Emiliano Nsua, Omaruo back on loan, Mejias, Patrick Bamford. So you've got Bamford, Kike and Vursen there as strikers. You know, they have invested so strongly. And yeah, they've sold Lukas Jukovic, they've sold Marvin Emnes, Curtis Mayne, of course, went off to Doncaster, and they released quite a lot of players on free transfers and loans as well. But the change around the club has been huge, and that has internally, I know for a fact, been the worry. It's just been about getting all these players communicating, bedded in together, working together, and getting that team ethic together. Now, Aitor Karanka has had that time now, you could argue, in this little international break. All of the transfers are done. They've been able to get everyone settled, work out the systems, work out the players, work out basically how each other works. And that's the interesting thing here, because Middlesbrough's start to the season, like you said, hasn't been great. It hasn't been great. They got a good opening day win against Birmingham. They were terrible against Sheffield Wednesday. They've struggled in some games. They obviously lost to Reading as well. But genuinely, they are a side worthy of backing to be promoted this season. I still believe it very strongly that with the players they've brought, the quality of players they've brought in, that they're going to go up. Now, again, with that time, you're then going to look at Huddersfield. Because Huddersfield have employed a new manager, a very good manager, may I add, in Chris Powell. Always talks very well, a very clever tactician at times. The one criticism I believe, and I may be wrong and I'm happy to be corrected, but the one criticism I do believe that Cheltenham fans had of him was his substitutions during a game. That was certainly from research I did, what kept coming up again and again. But again, a superb manager, a real icon for, I'm sure, many black managers in the game at the moment, because he's done very well with Charlton, did brilliantly with Charlton. He's now got a second bite of the cherry at a good club like Huddersfield. But they are low in confidence, Huddersfield. There is no question about that. They are low in confidence at the moment. It's been pretty publicly said they're pretty low in confidence as well. And just hosting a Middlesbrough side who are maybe finally getting their eye in together would be a bit of a worry. I mean, they lost 4-2 to Watford. Huddersfield, of course, battered there. Forest beat them 2-0 in the League Cup, fair enough. They drew with Charlton, they beat Reading, good result there, but they shipped 4 against Huddersfield, 3 against Cardiff. Yes, recently they've had good news about suspensions, like Murray Wallace, for example, the goal-scoring defender, but ultimately you have to look at Middlesbrough minus a goal here for me, I believe. The games they've won this season, that minus a goal has been very prevalent. They've got an attacking lineup that is, in my opinion, amongst the best in the league now, with Vuss and Bamford, who was brilliant for Derby last season, and, of course, Kike. And it might be worth having a couple of pounds as well on Adam Clayton, 100-30 any time for Middlesbrough. He, of course, signed from Huddersfield very, very recently indeed. He'll get a bite of the cherry at the weekend from the sound of things, and 100-30 any time is good. But the recommendation here would be Middlesbrough.
Very good. Next up, let's have a look at Charlton's game against Watford. Charlton are 9-5. The draw is 11-5, and Watford 6-4. This game last season was when Charlton managed to secure their championship status for another season. So the fans will go into it with quite a lot of pride and in a good mood, good memories. I think I was reading a piece, Pete, where we were saying that only three players started the last game in the championship that actually played in that game against Watford. Such have been the changes at Charlton, and it seems to be doing them some good because they're going along quite nicely. Watford score goals away from home. Charlton have got 100% record at home. Should be a good game, this.
It's very strange, Watford, isn't it?
What, there's a place or
what club? Happened? I've not been to Watford for a long time, right. So I couldn't say either way. But certainly, what happened with Cennino was very strange, wasn't it? The players obviously had a bit of a falling out with him. Oscar Garcia has said he's tried to get to the root of the problem, and that's how he's generally spent his time of late. He obviously left Maccabi Tel Aviv, and he said that was down to security concerns in Israel. So you look at that, and obviously he was linked with a Leeds job. And just the whole thing seemed just very strange, because Watford have really not started the season particularly badly, have they? They obviously hit four in their last league game. They're a side who find themselves second in the league right now after five games, four wins from five under Mr. Cennino. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't working out. It just didn't seem to click. Forestieri's been in good goal-scoring form. Deeney's been in good goal-scoring form. But whatever it was, the players weren't happy with Cennino. So that kind of brings you to this game, and you say, well, Charlton have actually been playing really, really well. There'll be certainly a very emotional game. David White, of course, former striker, played 106 games for Charlton, has passed away certainly in the last 48 hours, 43 years old. Did play, I think, at Southend as well and several other clubs. So that'll be a real atmosphere, I'm sure, down at Charlton for him, because he was a very well-liked player for them, a very well-liked player. They come into the back of this off a 2-2 draw against Watford Charlton. They have been very, very good indeed in front of goal. They've worked very, very hard. But when I looked at the scores in this, and I thought, well, you've just had a 2-2, you've just had a 4-2. You've had a 2-1 against Doncaster Rovers for Watford in the League Cup, a 4-1 against Leeds, a 2-0 against Rotherham, okay, a 3-0 against Norwich. And I thought, well, there's a bit of a pattern there. There's overs. There's over goals in that game, I thought. I thought, best checking with Charlton. But 2-2 against Brighton, 1-1 against Huddersfield, 3-2 against Derby, 2-1 against Wigan. You know, 4-0 League Cup win over Colchester in that opening day draw with Brentford, which was 1-1. But the over 2.5 was a really strong play for me in this one, Lee. So I thought, I'll browse down and look at the price. 10 to 11, the over 2.5 here. It's your choice, obviously. I really like that. But I think you can go better. I think you can go both teams to score and over 2.5 goals at 11 to 10. So yes, an over 2.5 is 11 to 10. You're getting odds against. I don't think either team's going to win this 3-0. And certainly the prevalence of the both teams to score, or certainly their very good performances in front of goal, for example, four of the last five Charlton Athletic games have been a both teams to score affair. You know, three of the last five for Watford. But still, the point remains, you've got to look at this and think, well, that both teams to score is good. The both teams to score on overs at 11 to 10 is good. The overs is good. But also, I like the draw no bet Charlton here. They've been far too good, I think, to immediately ignore. They've won both of their home games this season against good teams, may I add, Wigan and Derby County. Whereas Watford away from home, they lost at Norwich and they beat Rotherham. So ultimately for me, the draw no bet was a very, very good price. Even money for Charlton was the way to play it.
Very good. Let's wrap up the featured games with the Sunday 1:15 match being played for the prestigious Brian Clough Trophy, of course. Nottingham Forest versus Derby County. Forest top of the table, 13 points from the five games so far, and playing very well. Not conceding goals at home either. 2-0 against Blackpool, 4-0 against Reading. Derby County, they're in seventh with 8 points from their five matches. Not so good away from home. They've not won a championship match yet. Drew 0-0 at Wednesday and lost 3-2 to Charlton Athletic. Did beat Carlisle in the Cup 2-0. Interesting game, this. I mean, it was a pretty tight game, this, Pete, for the last, five or six meetings. And then there was the 5-0 last season with the Bryson hat-trick. But Forest were in all sorts of turmoil. I remember them having a big injury list, and there was obviously problems. It wasn't quite as stable as it is now with Stuart Pearce at the helm. Stuart Pearce has made quite a lot of statements this week about, laying down a marker, and if they can beat Derby, it'll be a massive thing for a sell-out crowd at the Forest ground, staying top of the table, etc., etc. I can see this being pretty tight, this one.
Well, first and foremost, Lee, it's our bye season. Is it bye season or bye into season? I don't know what the actual nomenclature of it all is. But what do we do twice a year in a Nottingham Forest Derby County game, Lee?
I think you're going to go something on the bookings, aren't you?
I'm exactly going to go something on the bookings, Lee. Well,
I'm taking you on.
You're week. There before me. Are you taking me on, are you?
Mm-hmm. Low on the booking this time.
Right, wow. Well, interesting that, because obviously last time was a 5-0 victory, as you said, for Derby County, wasn't it? Before that, a red card for Richard Keogh. Then nothing before that, but then a red card for Dexter Blackstock. Before that, a red card for Marcus Tudguy. Before that, a red card for Frank Fielding. So you are still looking at, four of the last six that have had a red card. In fact, it's five of the last seven, if you actually go a bit further back. Five of seven of the meetings between these two sides recently, in what is a derby game, have come to what? A red card. Mm. A red card in the match, yes. It's huge. It's not quite as big as it normally is, but 21 to 10 is still brilliant. So that's the first place to stop for me. That's great. You could play it, of course, another way. You could go to booking points, because then it just gives you some yellows, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The over 55 at 10 to 11, the over 65 at 8 to 5, maybe. You could play an early card. For example, Frank Fielding's red was I think, a second minute when they met a couple of years ago, 11 to 5 for time of first card, giving you a booking as well in a local derby.
Loads of markets. 34 markets on the bookings page on this Pete, so decent.
Well, there's an awful lot of ways to play it. But for me, ultimately, I really like the look of a score draw here. The score draw, match result, and both teams to score draw is 3-1. Now, Derby have started the season, maybe not quite as convincingly as some would like, but still pretty convincingly. They lost at Charlton, who we mentioned, but they beat Rotherham. They drew with a good performing Sheffield Wednesday side. They drew with Ipswich and destroyed Fulham. Nottingham Forest have been exceptional. They've been absolutely exceptional. There's no argument about that whatsoever. Beat Blackpool, beat Bournemouth, beat Reading and beat Sheffield Wednesday, and have played, generally speaking, very, very well indeed. So you have all of this together in which you think, well, I can't separate these two sides. Plus, Derby will be up for this like you wouldn't believe. Forest will be too. As always, the fans will make this a very, very big pressure cooker atmosphere. And yes, I know the last game between the two was a 5-0, but Forest were a different side.
That was a blip.
Yeah, Forest are a different side to what they are now. The other way I really like to play this, if you fancy a win, I really like the two headline offers. Henry Lansbury scored last time out. He's a great player in really good form and a man who you really cannot ignore remotely in the goal scorer market for me at any time for Nottingham Forest, let alone in this one. But the Chris Martin to score one really caught my eye. As I'm not sure which way it's going to go on the outright, I've gone for the anytime instead. Signed a new contract extension or a new deal this week in good goal scoring form. 6-4 anytime is, I think, absolutely superb. It really is a very, very good bet. And if you want, of course, you can go to your reverse scorecast. You can go to your anytime drawcast. For example, Chris Martin to score at any time in the match to be a draw is 9s. Which I think is fascinating too. But ultimately, that red card market, 5 of 7, it's one of my favourite bets yearly, this. I get to do it twice a year on Derby, Nottingham Forest. I'm going to take the opportunity when I can.
Yeah, it usually pays out as well, to be fair, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm picking mine up in this match. Actually.
Right,
I'm under 45 booking points at 17 to 10's my shout here.
Under 45 booking points.
So you can afford one yellow and one red, or 4 yellows. Before your bet's dead. So it's basically, if you don't do bookings points, it's 10 points for a yellow, 25 for a red. Maximum per player is 35. So if they get 2 yellows, that player gets 35 points. My reasoning for it is that Stuart Pearce obviously is he liked a challenge, to be fair. So he's a pretty feisty manager. But I think as a title challenging team, he'll want discipline from his players. And in this game, more than any, he'll want discipline from his players. They haven't been, I think the home games so far, they picked up 1 yellow card against Reading. I know it's not a local derby, and they picked 1 up against Blackpool. Derby have been fairly well behaved away from home. And again, I know it's a derby and things do change. But there weren't many yellow cards in that 5-0. I know it was a different kind of match. But I do think it'll be a lot steadier. And the other thing, Pete, is, you know, those head-to-heads that you were mentioning, and you know, it's a remarkable record. There was a lot of antagonism between the two managers as well at the time, if you remember.
So
I'm just thinking these two managers are more about discipline and making sure that they play the right way. So I'm going to chance it. And you're still getting 4 cards. It's still a reasonable amount of cards, to be fair. The other thing, Paul Tierney is the referee.
Yeah.
He has brandished a couple of reds this season, to be fair.
7, I think, yeah, is it? 2,
Norwich, the Norwich game, he had a red. There were 2 yellows in the Luton Swindon game he refereed. Away from that, though, he showed 3 cards in the Swansea-West Brom game, 4 in the Burton Queen's Park Rangers game, 3 in the Millwall-Rotherham game, 3 in the Sheffield United-Bristol City game. There is games this season. So I know this is a standalone game and you can't just say, oh, well, Paul Tierney doesn't throw that many cards around. But I'm going to chance that. I've been looking at it all week and weighing up looking for comments from Stuart Pearce about it being calm. And I'm going to trust that the two managers send their teams out to be disciplined. So 17 to 10 for under 45 bookings points is my nap.
Right.
What's your nap, Pete?
Well, intriguing.
You won last week, by the way, didn't you? I haven't had a winner yet,
I didn't,
by the way.
I didn't win last week.
Oh, no. I had
Bristol City and both teams to score,
right,
and
so
they won, I believe, 2-0.
That's right, yes.
If memory serves.
Yeah, we all lost, didn't we? That's right.
Yeah. I was a bit annoyed about that. I was sitting at home going, 2-0, that's not bad. Someone score.
Yeah,
someone score.
Killer that, isn't it?
didn't land. I think the way for me to play this is going to have to be Wolves.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, 19-20 is going to have to be Wolves, mate. I can't.
Millwall did you a favour, didn't they, when they beat them? So no need to go. You may as well stick with the bat, didn't you?
If it was all settled behind the scenes and they were just trying to get the football played, Lee, then I'd certainly not be as gung-ho against Blackpool as I am. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, there's no question that with the arguments between Carl Oyston and Riga, it's getting very tense there. It just the whole thing seems like, from the outside, of course, it is only from the outside, like a bit of a mess. And that means that 19-20, it's hard to turn down any team, let alone a team in great form, who Wolves are in, of course, to win this match. So I have to go with Wolves to win that game as my nap of the week.
Absolutely fair enough, yeah. The standings for the naps, by the way, Pete's on £37.42. Profit, that is. Sam Ashu, who does our League 1 and League 2 podcasts, is on minus £9. And I am on minus 40 already. I need a winner desperately here, Pete, just to kind of to stop the rot. So good luck with your nap, Pete. Good luck at the weekend as well with all the rest of your bets.
Thank you very much, Lee. Cheers.
Pete Farrer is there with his selections for the Championship. As I said, Sam Ashu is doing League 1 and League 2, so make sure you check those podcasts out as well. You can download them at williamhill.com/podcasts on the 72.co.uk. It's right there on the top right-hand side of their website with a playlist that you can just scroll through and listen to what you want. It's also at audioboo.fm as well. And if you subscribe to iTunes, you can get all three league podcasts delivered straight to your phone, your tablet or your PC, plus you'll get the Punt and the FWA podcast as well. What you can't say further than that. If you're having a bet on any of the Championship action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.